The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, it feels good, doesn't it? Yes, it does. We're back on the air. Who the fuck would ever known it? It's 11.02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8.02 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 after 2 p.m. in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and here, smack dab in Ilhan Omar's district, congressional district in Northeast Minneapolis, it's 2 minutes after 10 p.m. Central Time, and I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. Once again, forgot to check that count. I think it's number 68, I think. And we'd like to welcome all of you for joining us. That's what we'd like to do. Okay, so our guest tonight is Jeff Meyer, and we're happy as hell to announce that he is sponsoring he sponsors this program. He's a CEO and publisher of Conk News, and Conk News is exclusive sponsor of Jim Peters at Night. I'm tripping on my words. I'm so damn excited to be here. You know, I gotta tell you, this is just goofy. I slept till 1:45 in the afternoon today, and so I'm up a little longer than this, and I'm pretty much full of energy right now. I mean, I hate to say it, 11 p.m. Eastern rolls around and I'm sitting here, and a lot of times I got to stifle a yawn, it's like, but still, tonight, no, uh-uh. No, anyway, no, enough about me. Conk News at conk.com, conk.com, you got a logo right on your screen there, is the best single conservative news aggregator on the internet, period, and I'm not kidding. You got to check it out. If you're on a desktop computer or laptop right now, check it out right now. Leave us open another tab, whatever the hell you're doing on Rumble. I have no idea. There's so many ways to access this show. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, so check this out. And we're going to, just coming on, and we're going to, normally now, we run a commercial for Conk News just before our guests. But when Jeff comes on now, we're going to do them at the end of his segment because he can actually join in. So I'm going to put the latest live version of the Conk front page on the front on the screen. It changes every 3 hours. In a 24-hour period, they update it 8 times. 75 different news organizations are funneled into this thing. And seriously, if you're a news junkie, it's a sexual experience for you. So you want to check this out. Conk News at conk.com. conk.com. Okay, so what else do I got today? I got this. Hold on. I'm just pulling up. I got stuff to pull up. First of all, I'd like to thank you folks for watching. Our entire month of January is booked for guests. The whole thing. We booked our last day, got one day today. That was Tuesday the 16th. That's a week from this coming Tuesday. David Strom from Hot Air is coming on. And I hate to, it's like you think I'm pushing this website because I have something in it. No, I don't. We have next week, Jazz Shaw, the weekend editor of Hot Air, is going to be on. The week after that, David Strom, the associate editor. And the week after that, for the first time, we're going to have Ed Morrissey, the editor-in-chief of HotAir.com. All these guys are really interesting. Ed Morrissey runs a podcast and video show like this. He does it once a week, I think, or maybe twice a week. I'm not sure. You go to HotAir.com, you can check that out. And then, of course, it's like I'm shilling for the Salem Media Properties. Also, 2 weeks from now, we have the dynamic duo coming on, and that's Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com. That's a Salem Media property. And Jeff Meyer, who's here tonight, he joins her. I'm not shilling for Salem Media, but they got a lot of good crap going on. They really do. So you got to check that out. And the other thing I want to point out, which I'm, it's starting to become a point of pride here. Okay, we've been doing this show a few days over 5 months. In the 5 months we've been doing it, or I suppose if you're talking about we started a pre-book guest a couple weeks before that, we've only had one single person decline to come on that we've asked. Everybody we've asked to come on the show has come on the show, except for one person. And it's really interesting about that one person. And I'm not going to name him. He's a novelist, and that's the thing. He writes fiction books, which we very seldom have on the show or have going into the past. The podcast and radio shows I did for Kong News previously, I very seldom interview fiction authors for all sorts of reasons. I'm not even going to get into that right now. But this guy lives in Los Angeles, and I think he checked out the show on whatever media, like I said, whatever million places you can get this. And I think he decided it was too conservative for his tastes. That's kind of, I lived there for 5 years. I know these people. And the thing is, there's a particular type of Hollywood liberal. And the thing is, you got to have associated with these people to understand this. They're a specific brand of liberal. And they might not even be involved in the movies per se. They just kind of live there. You know, the whole entertainment, artistic community, and they hate people like me. They do. And I used to be one of them. So, you know, go figure that. You know, I don't know what, you know, I the way I look at it, I got a clue. And you stop and think about this too. I've said this many times, and the thing is, I'm still waiting for this. I'm still waiting for some polling organization to poll the public to find out how many conservatives are former liberals, because my guess is it's about half. Whereas, alternatively, hardly anyone ever goes the other way. I only know two people in my entire life that I've met who were former liberal or former conservatives that became liberals. And the interesting thing about those two guys is that they both worked in very large corporate environments. And from what I can tell, I don't know if this is why they flipped their politics, but I do know this for certain. They were really disgusted to see how their employees got screwed. I don't know if that had, like, they both had the same thing here going on. They were both in relatively high positions, corporate positions, and they both saw and lamented on how the corporation was screwing their employees. And I have no idea if that had anything to do with this or not, but those are the only two guys I've ever known that have flipped from conservative to liberal. Because when you stop and think about it, 95% of all of us come out of the womb liberal because we're children and our parents we're basically sucking on our parents' teat, right? Now, there's exceptions to this. Mr. Meyer, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he was one of those guys who didn't. I think he came out of the womb as a conservative. And I have a cousin who also did, which is really kind of amazing to me. How 12-year-old kids become conservatives, I have no idea. But it seems it's a pretty natural thing. And then, as time goes on, as people grow up, more and more liberals become conservatives. That's kind of the way this game works. And by the time you hit, like in my case, the baby boomer generation, I'm smack dab in the middle of it, 1955. It was actually 1946 to 64 was the baby boom generation. And my generation now is, I'd say it's probably about 60% conservative. That would be my guess, what I know from what I know anyway. But most of those people used to be liberals. And some of us get a clue and some of us don't. That's the way I look at this, you know? So anyway, I've only had one single person who's declined to be a guest on the show since I have to say, I'm happy and proud of that. I think it's part of the reason is we cater so much to the guests, and I think word is getting out that this is a good place to appear, you know, even though, you know, we don't have that many viewers yet so far. But still, thank you to all the guests, and thank you for watching. I appreciate it very much. Okay, so tonight we got Jeff Meyer. There's no show on Monday. I won't go through that again. I'm going to the doctor, and you're saying, well, you're just a pussy. Well, no, but the thing is, I have an adverse reaction to drugs sometimes, and I don't want to bother to try to put a show on at 10 o'clock at night, my time. I don't want to try to, so we're skipping it. Next Tuesday, we got Monologue Monday on Tuesday, and that's the other thing I should point out, too. When I said the entire month is booked up for guests, I'm no longer booking guests on Monday, or at least the first day of the week. There's too much news. to talk about. And not only that, it seems like I thought when I started this show, I thought that we'd have problems booking guests on Thursday, and I turned out I was absolutely wrong. We have problems booking guests on Monday. The guests actually, the later the week goes, the more basically the more demand there is for the days. So at this point, I'm not booking guests at all on Monday. So it's gonna, but next week, because we're not doing a show on Monday, we're doing Monologue Monday and Tuesday. So besides that, Murray Sabourin, economist, is coming on Wednesday. He's a longtime guest here. We have him on regularly. He answers our questions about the sucky Biden economy and how they can gaslight us about the fact, oh, you know, everything's great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, have you gone shopping? Have you tried that? I shop for my family. All this is all I know. Almost all groceries have gone up 50% in the last 12 months. Almost all of them. And not only that, it's not stopping. That's the other thing. Anyway, I was reading something today, and I want to ask, I want to ask Jeff Meyer if he knows anything about this too. Because Jeff, that's kind of Jeff's wheelhouse also. Like I said, Jazz Shaw, weekend editor from Hot Airs, coming on Thursday. He is my brother from another mother. His beat is conservative politics and UFOs, and that's mine. So, yeah. And then the last thing we got going on here, which is, I'm going to mention this now every night for a couple weeks. We are now taking text messages. We are taking text messages live during the show. You can text messages at the number on your screen down here, 408-458-5088. And especially, like, for example, if you have a question for Jeff Meyer, you can text it in while we're doing this in real time. Jeff is on live. Sometimes we don't have guests on live because it's too late. So that's the thing. I cater to them. If they want to come on, we pre-tape in the afternoon. I try to make it easy. So anyway, and you know, Jeff is very easy. I've known him quite a while. He's extremely easy. So, and I'm sure he'll verify for that. So that said, I got a bunch of stuff here, but I want to ask Jeff, so we're just going to go right into it. So here's a little bumper music, and then I push the buttons. Here we go. It's you.
I'm here.
You are here from his six-car garage in Prior Lake, Minnesota. It's Jeff Meyer. The
furnace is turned down. It's on a night setting, and it's finally winter here.
Yes, that's true. It was 17 degrees last night. Yeah, yeah. Usually, I give an update on the weather. I did not do that in the open, but it looks like we're finally going to get some real snow here over the next week. It hasn't happened so far, which is unusual for here. No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How are you doing, my friend?
Not San Diego, but it's, you know. No.
It's not San Diego. Let's just leave it at that. It isn't. All right. You said you wanted to talk about the Epstein stuff. So I got something I want to buy you, and I don't know if you...
Okay, hold on, though.
Okay.
I have one thing.
Yeah.
I was born in 65.
Uh-huh.
So I would refer to myself as a Gen former Twitter, now X.
All right. Okay. I got it. Jen. Okay. Yeah. Former Twitter, now X.
Former
right.
Twitter X.
Yeah. Right. That's right. That's okay, right.
So that's me. We're exactly 10 years apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm old. You're not. And I'm fat too.
I'm trying to get there.
Shit.
Where do you want to start?
All right, I'll tell you what I got here. I got a really interesting tidbit of information, and that is that the guy, you know, this is pretty much well known now that ABC killed the story on Epstein like 3 years before he got arrested. You know, they want to, you know, what's her name? Oh God, what is her name? Amy Robach.
It was just conk.com that story about her getting the story killed.
Right, that's right. That and the guy who killed the story was a guy named James Goldston, and he's also the guy who produced the primetime January 6th committee special, you know? They did that television show. That was him. He did that. They hired him to do that. So apparently, I think he knows people, Jeff.
I wonder if he's on the list.
That's what I'm wondering too. I know.
J- just for clarity, I think the whole Epstein list thing is a red herring. It's an easy thing to distract people with because they won't roll it out. And so Epstein obviously was a bad dude, associated with a lot of people because he was offering this way to get this drug, young children, young girls. And again, being a man has advantages in this country, and they prove it all the time.
Yeah.
The only person suffering from the Epstein deal is Ghislaine Maxwell. She's sitting in the clink.
That's right.
They got the list of the people, all mostly guys, 90% yeah. guys. Not one of them's suffering any retribution.
No, but the one chick, we'll throw her in jail.
Yeah, right. Throw her in the Crowbar Hotel. Yeah. And so I like to bitch, but I always have a cause, right?
Uh-huh.
That's me. I don't just bitch to bitch. I like to bitch to have a cause. So there's a article at conk.com by, I think this is it National Review? Who is this? Red State. And the headline is Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express. So this nice airplane will be torn apart and scrapped out for parts. And the private island turned into a resort.
Yeah.
So
now,
this
yeah.
is how Jeff Meyer works.
Right. Okay.
This is why I have conk.com.
All right.
I'm not a writer. I just yep.
But you aggregate.
I do aggregate.
Yeah.
And I irritate. So here's how I look at the world. Okay. The gals in jail that ran the phone service to get uh-huh. all the young chicks.
Uh-huh.
So take the top 100 names from this list, make them finance this resort. All the girls that suffered, and maybe there's some young boys, they get to keep all the revenue from this thing. The taxes are all paid by this top 100. So if you if you can prove you were affected or part of this deal, and this thing does $100 million a year, and there's 100 of you, each gets your $1 million every year in propriety forever. Your family gets
Jeff, that is brilliant. That's brilliant. You're absolutely right. Their victims should get all the money.
Yes. And yeah. the families of these 100 pigs for the next 200 years have to write the checks so that they know that their descendants are the biggest pieces of shit known to modern man. And so tonight I say, bring out the scarlet letter.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Bring E on these people's foreheads.
I'm with you.
And make them write these checks. There's just the Puritans need to unite again and mark these people as pigs and then affect them financially for the rest of history so that people don't forget this shit. This isn't anything new, but we've gotten so soft that if you saw the video, the criminal in Vegas, out of all the shit decisions he could make in his life, in the top 10 is I'm going to jump over the desk of the judge. Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh. And pound her into the wall. Now, it obviously went hopefully from 10th on his list to number one. But what happens in your life that's even on the list?
That's right. I know. You're absolutely right.
And so to tie this all together, people have to have consequences. And because there aren't any, there's another school shooting. There was never a school shooting in the 12 years I was in school.
Yeah.
Did you ever witness one?
No.
Or hear about one?
Uh-uh.
There were fist fights.
No, there were.
But mostly.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Mostly because there were male teachers, and if you got locked up with someone, usually you both got hit by a teacher. And if there was five people involved, usually all five of you got your head banged into a locker. And then the other 10 that thought they should participate said, well, looks like they got sorted that out. Thanks, you know, Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
We're moving down the hallway.
You know, hey, can I tell you a question, a little story about that? I'm going to be very specific here. I went to high school in Red Wing, Minnesota at Red Wing Central High. So when I was going to high school there, the assistant principal was a guy named Pete Petrick, and he was also the coach of the basketball team, and we had stellar teams. He was brilliant. He was also Serbian. He was from Yugoslavia, as was my family. You know, I'm a first-generation American. Sure. So he took a particular liking to me. But he was notorious for beating kids up. So one day, I'm not kidding, Jeff. This really happened. One day, I'm walking down the hall in the old building, about 70, 80 years old. And I'm walking down the hall, and Petrick says, Peters. I said, yeah. He said, you have a minute? I said, sure. He says, stand outside this door and make certain nobody comes in. So he takes this kid he's dragging around, and he takes him to this classroom, shuts the door, and I stand in front of the door, and I hear the soundtrack of him beating the crap out of this guy, and he's screaming, and they're throwing desks, and it's like, it's just calamity, and he just beat, he drags the guy out, and the kid's beaten to a pulp, and he drags the kid out and said, Peters, thanks, and he leaves. That was life in 1972.
You got it, and that kid probably never screwed around in school again.
No, that's true. That's the thing. You know, people say, oh, that's terrible. Oh, it's bullying, all this sort of shit. But people remember that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Either you pick to not get into that situation again, or you just figured, I'm going to get beat up a lot.
Right. That's right. You come to terms with it. Either I'm not going to do it again, or I'm going to get beat up, one or the other. Right.
Yeah. The generations now have no idea.
No.
So now they're 25, 30, 35, never got spanked, never got into a confrontation.
Right.
Use a car, a gun. So we have a lot of stuff that we let our guard down on because the liberals said we should. They were going to take us in a new direction with socialism. Well, we're in that direction without any real way right now to turn it back. And two reasons it's going to be tough to turn back from really big changes. One, the border's been open really too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the spending in the government, because they don't have any guide rails, is totally out of control.
Jeffrey, I'm going to move on because you just brought this up. This was on my list today about the spending. So over the weekend, we cracked $34 trillion in national debt. And the real amazing thing is the debt is now going, it's $101,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. And for every taxpayer, it's $264,000. What the fuck?
Well, and again, I like to bitch about this stuff, and I've said this to you on other shows with you. I didn't sign those loan papers.
No, again. You didn't. Right? That's right. That's right.
The government did.
That's right.
And so here you, again, like the scarlet letter, you put a big G on these people's heads and you say, China wants their cash. And you say, okay, get everyone who was in the legislative branch and the executive branch, and then all the departments that took this money and used it, it's a bankruptcy of those people to pay back China or Japan. And
yeah,
you say, here's their net worth. You want 34 trillion. We have about five. So you're getting whatever cents on the dollar that is. And their families can pay you back and wipe them out because this group, for the last, my whole lifetime, 50 years, have come in as paupers and left as princes.
Yes, that's correct.
Joe Biden, our president, is a great example. The guy's a piece of shit lawyer who got into the Senate and has now got three homes worth tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He never made a thing.
No, no. He's been working for well over 40 years on a civil service salary, which All right, if you're a senator or vice president, it's $174,000 a year, I think. But you in
who cares? That's nothing.
It's nothing. If you live in Washington, half of that's going to go for your rent. I mean, shit.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's thumbsucker in being successful in this country with the opportunities that are there.
But you have
$175,000, and you got that much power.
Yeah.
That's shitty. That's a shitty return. But you don't produce anything, so there's no real value to what you're doing.
Right.
And again, I heard it. Someone brought it up in an office I was in today, and I said, well, I didn't sign those loan documents to spend the money. So talk to the representatives who said this is a great idea, and they sponsored the bill, and here's the idiots that voted for it. You guys pay that debt back.
Well, you got a really...
I don't need to.
Jeffrey, you got a really good idea here. If the people in Congress were even partially liable for the amount of debt they accrued, this was all stop in 30 fucking seconds.
Not partially responsible, 100%.
Well, no. Okay, but I mean, even seeing if it was partial, if they said, well, we're going to take 30% of your salary, that would quit it. That would stop it.
Remember, all the legislation they pass, they don't give you partial responsibility for
no,
the taxes.
No, that's true.
Know.
They don't know. That's right? Correct. That's correct.
So
they don't.
Fuck partiality.
Yeah, okay.
The full fucking Monty.
All right. And you're talking about the legislature. This is also on my list today. You still there? Hello? Oh, man. We might have lost him. We did lose him. All right. Hold on. We lost fucking everything here. This all collapsed.
Uh-oh.
All right. All right. You're
there
back? You're back. Okay. I want to pick up where you're talking about. You know, you're talking about all the bills they pass. I don't know if you know this, but in 2023, Congress passed a total of 23 bills. That was it. That's all they did. And personally, that's what I think, too. Everyone says, oh, that's terrible. And I'm saying, no, that's fantastic. Yeah,
that's
terrific.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We have too many laws in this country already. You know, I mean, I've been talking about this for some time, Jeff, about the fact that, and this is the other thing I want to ask you, too, based on what you were just talking about. Society is maturing, and as our government matures, we need less and less. We're tweaking it. We need to tweak it less and less. We need less laws, and that's actually one of the reasons. I'm interested if you agree with me on this. Although the polling seems to indicate that the country is very slowly leaning to the right. It's not fast, but it seems to be happening.
And again, I think that's there's two angles to that. One, who does the polling and what questions are they asking? Number two, part of that is in a lot of circles and in a lot of families, it doesn't make any sense to raise that flag like, I'm never voting for a Democrat again, because you're just going to get savaged in the House.
Well, right. Yes, that's true.
You just go vote a different way and you go, I don't know how he won. I didn't vote for
right,
him.
Right, right. Well, I've told you. Go ahead.
I'm a faithful watcher of Morning Joe. Now, he hasn't been on at all since the Christmas break.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he's sick.
Oh.
They don't talk about him. Maybe his name's on the pedal list.
Oh, yeah, maybe. And, you know, that wouldn't
surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know, but Mika doesn't mention that prick's name at all.
Yeah.
But on that show, it's a real bellwether about topics. You know, what are they talking about?
Yeah, what are they talking about? I don't watch it anymore.
Nothing of any substance.
Really?
They never. They're talking about, is Trump going to get on the ballot or not? And he's an insurrectionist. It's like, it's kind of like listening to Sean Hannity. They're like a skipped record. It's like,
yeah,
that was like news 36, 48 months ago. Who
yeah.
cares? What's going on today?
Well, if somebody has to fill time, I sympathize with them because, you know, they got 3 hours to fill every day, and it's the news at the beginning of the year is fairly slow. But that said, I know those people too. They don't bother with real news anyway. They don't know what real news is.
No. They're not out there finding a family that walked across the border 8 weeks
ago. Nope, they're not doing that.
Settled into New Jersey, and they're functioning.
Nope.
They don't do any of that. You know, they'll say, oh, they think there's some changes that the Republican needs to help with the changes to close up the border. They're not going out to find these feel-good stories about, you know, here's 17 Chinese that came across, and now they're functional in our society.
Oh, but Jeff, you know what else? It's not just that they don't go out to find the stories. They don't even bother to talk about that stuff. I mean,
right. They ignore it.
You and I aren't going out finding stories, but we're talking about that shit, you know, at least, you know.
Well, I mean, we can go to conk.com and find what's going on.
Well, that's true. That's right.
I mean, and that's the thing. They've got access to that.
Right.
They can create it, but they're not even. Usually you build the puff piece to protect Joe Biden. Like, look at this family. They walked 17 million miles. Here's their golden tennis shoes are on the wall. Yeah. And now they own 4 hot dog stands in New York. I mean, somehow you would try to pitch this, the success, to these people that walked from China through the Mexican border.
Yeah. Right?
They walked on water and they got through the Mexican border to America.
Right.
And here they are, feel good about this. They don't have any feel good stories about any of these. What are they thinking? 40 million people that came across?
It's unbelievable. I mean, they figure by the end of this coming year, it's going to be well over 8 million people.
Yeah.
And also, that's the only people they've documented. They have no idea how many people snuck across completely unscathed. They don't know about
that. Right.
You know? I mean, and that, you know, I've been talking about this on the show. That's what, even 8 million people is well over 2% of the American population. If it gets to more than that, you're pushing 3. Well, I mean, that's...
Right.
You know, then you're talking, most of our elections are only decided by 2 or 3%. I mean, shit, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I agree with you in the fact that, you know, even Trump gets in, if Trump gets in, he says he's going to start deporting people. They won't be able to they'll never round up even, you know, half of these people to deport them. It's like, it's not going to happen. They're here.
Right. Right. And so that's why he shouldn't talk like that, because people are going to say, well, he's giving the left ammo, like, well, he's not even fulfilling his campaign promise. You can't. It's like when they say we might want to confiscate the guns. Well,
yeah,
there's 300 million guns.
Right.
And someone's got to walk up to a door and say, I want your gun.
Right.
Well, you're going to see the barrel first.
That's right. That's true. I mean, it is. You're not going to get people's guns. Yeah.
My friends that are gun owners are like, they're not getting my gun.
I'm no.
Like, they can't find 5 million illegal border crossers. They're human beings walking
around. That's right.
This is something you can hide in your pants.
That's right. But you're absolutely right. It's only in some alternative universe where you could do this. You know, my friends just say, you know, say, well, we should have never had the Second Amendment. And I say, well, okay, if you go back in time and you get rid of it, maybe life would be different. But we have it, and you're never going to get rid of these guns ever, ever. It's like, it's not even worth, you're never going to make a dent. It's like, it's Jesus, you know? I'm astonished at how unrealistic people are, Jeffrey.
The scare the gun away, you know, we're going to take all the guns is a meaningless argument, is the abortion argument, right? For the Republican Party, it's like bringing your drunk uncle to every event. He just makes a shit show out of everything.
Uh-huh.
If the Republicans were smart in their marketing, they would show up with Roe v. Wade. We got it back to a states' right issue where it should be, not a federal issue. It's a states' right issue. And if the Democrats want to continue to kill black and minority babies, we can't stop them.
Yeah.
And that's where Planned Parenthood is. It's not in White Prior Lake is the Planned Parenthood. It's up in Burnsville, Minnesota, where the diversity is much closer to neutral than white.
Yes.
And if you look at where Planned Parenthood abortion clinics are, they're in neutral, not white, geographical locations.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was someone who hated minorities.
She did. She was a eugenicist. It's like, yeah.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know what that means,
bums,
say again?
Not necessarily black bums, but white bums.
Yeah.
Because they beat the piss out of her mom when she was a little kid.
Right.
Now, if you don't know that, you should get on to Google, because the Google can tell you everything. And you find out, who is Margaret Sanger? What happened to her as a child? Why did she hate the downtrodden? Because they beat the piss out of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And her goal was, if we just get rid of them, or better yet, if we don't let them reproduce, the world will be better.
Yeah, and that was the key. She didn't want to kill them. She just thought, well, if we keep them from reproducing, then we don't have to deal with it in a generation. That was a, yes. That was her thinking. We're not going to murder anybody, you know, quote, right. unquote. You know, we'll just keep them from reproducing. I know, it's just, it's absurd. And the thing that really bothers me about Planned Parenthood is the fact that the government funds them. You know,
yeah.
It's like, Jesus, I mean, they're a nonprofit organization. You know, it's like, if I start a nonprofit organization to give ice cream to the troops, is the government going to fund me? No. It's like, right. God, it really bugs
or
the crap out of
the
me.
Troops.
Say again?
Right. We know they aren't, that you can apply, that's a great example. You can apply that same thing to housing our veterans.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You don't ever hear of someone going undercover to the tower to tower or
tunnel to towers
organization.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And say, geez, look it, we found that they took 18,000 truckloads of lumber and built their own thing. No.
No.
You hit it. The government only would subsidize the eugenists because they do want less downtrodden.
Yeah, they do.
Because they know there will always be enough to keep the government rolls
yes.
full of needy people on welfare.
Right. And also cheap labor. There's that too.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. They have all sorts of reasons for letting all these migrants in. One of them is cheap labor. One of them is yep. votes. I mean, it's like, yeah, there's very little downside to the Democratic Party to letting all these people in.
But the Republicans to try to think you're going to sell, to try to convince the abortion thing is either you're for it or you're against it. There's no, well, maybe after 6 days they should smoke the kid. It's a kid.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's a kid. That's what this state, go with the science. That's what it says. It's not going to be a refrigerator. It's going to be a human being that comes
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And so from there, if you want to use the same message, you got to change it, because for the last 50 years, you've been losing on that message.
Right. Well, as a general rule, the Republicans lose on messaging anyway, because I mean, really, yeah. we're really bad at it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, well, I mean, I'm not technically a Republican. I don't know if you are either, but still, it's like the
Republican. I'm a conservative.
Yeah, right, right.
And so this year, I have it in my notes. I'm still 70-30 that I'm not. I will vote for a Democrat. I mean, I want to get to the plane crash site sooner yeah. than later.
Right, right.
And if this thing's going to hit the ground, I'd rather do it in the next 10 months than in the next 6 years.
Yeah.
Because we're going to the ground.
There's, right.
Let's just hit it and let's, you know.
It's like, well, you and I were talking about this. We were talking about this offline, about I'm going to have Murray Sabrin on next week, that Harry Bident has predicted that in the next 12 months, the entire U.S. economy is going to completely collapse. He's not talking about depression. He's talking about just wiped out. And I got to admit, I can see that happening. It's like we've been printing so much fake money for so long that, you know.
Yeah, and if it happens, you just say, okay, I guess I got a fresh start today. You don't get all twisted out of shape. You didn't sign these notes to spend the money. You've been functioning and productive, just get your ass back to work. And if it's, I'm just worried about keeping my neighborhood safe, who knows when we say it's going to hit the ground, what that's going to be.
Yeah. But Jeffrey, I just want to point.
The government's going to say, we're here to help you. And that's when you say, fuck you.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's what Ronald Reagan always said, right? The nine most dangerous words on the planet. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yep.
But I have to say,
for
people who always complain about the fact that you're so depressing, that's actually, that's the ultimate optimism there. You know, because you're right. If the economy goes to hell, we should not bitch and moan and throw our hands up.
Nope. it's how do I feed my family? How do I take care of my neighbors? I don't really care if Ukraine ever gets another dollar of our fake money. We're worried about our neighbors.
Right. I know. I'm worried too. You know, it's like, I mean, and I always forget the name of this woman. She wrote this novel about 10 years ago. I've got her on my long-term guest list to get her on the show. And the novel was about the fact that the United States defaulted on the national debt. They actually, the president, she said it in some like 2035 or something. And she said the president actually got on TV and gave a speech and said, we're not going to pay the debt back. And because of that, the entire U.S. economy collapsed. And it was tracing this one family that was actually fairly wealthy and how they ended up with, the people ended up killing themselves. And it was awful, but highly realistic. I could see that stuff happening, you know?
It's like, and that's why we're talking about don't do that.
Yeah.
If it goes down, okay, big deal.
Right.
This government that's charging you all these taxes isn't there to help you, or the border would be sealed.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Right. That's absolutely correct.
When they said, hey, we think there's problems with the election, they would have said, well, let's open up the machines and see if there's something.
That's right.
They said, no, you can't look.
No, you can't look. That's right. That's been my bitching. I'm still bitching about this, you know, and the thing is, the left constantly confuses evidence and proof. I have no proof that the 2020 election was stolen. I have evidence. I think it's worth looking into. I don't have any proof. I have no proof at all. But still,
their answer is move along.
That's right. Nothing
just
to see
move
here.
Move along.
Right. Nothing to see
Get
here.
Get your ass back to work. Start chipping into this national debt.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I was going to ask you, you know, Sheena Easton Bellows. I threw the Easton in there because of the rock singer.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Sheena Bellows, I think that's how you pronounce her name. That's the main Secretary
of
State.
Yeah, right, right.
She ain't bad looking.
No, she isn't.
I think someone in Minnesota should, you know, one of these freaking lousy eel pout attorneys that's just laying around the office working out every day, should copy that language that she has in her deal. I found it at NPR. Guess what show she was on in NPR in this article I found?
Fresh Air? I don't know. Tell me.
My favorite show. What? All Things Considered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. All Things Considered. Right.
Monotone.
Well, you and I have talked about
total
this before.
Russian, you know, Russian babble.
Right. That's right.
but she made the decision to disqualify Trump on Monday, and she talked about it here. And I think we should do this in Minnesota to everyone that was in an elected office during the George Floyd stuff. Because now, if you haven't seen the show that made by Liz Collins called The Fall of Minneapolis, our state government let this insurrection happen in the Twin Cities, and it rolled through the country and really around the globe.
Yeah.
But just take her words. The 14th Amendment, which states in part that individuals who engaged in insurrection or rebellion should be disqualified from holding office. The amendment was ratified in the wake of the Civil War. And if you look at what our Minnesota legislators, party neutral, it doesn't matter, the governor, lieutenant governor, should all be brought up on these same charges. Like, you cannot hold office again in Minnesota because you were present during the insurrection that followed George Floyd's death.
Yeah, and here's the deal. That's as much an insurrection as what happened on January 6th, which is, in my mind, legally is not an insurrection at all. I mean, you know, right. Insurrection is a very specific legal charge. And no one's been, well, there's two people from January 6th have been convicted of insurrection. Which actually, to me, I mean, I hate to say it, I think it's completely wrong, but it proves the fact it's a legal charge. Donald Trump's never even been charged with insurrection,
right.
Let alone convicted. Right. So she's completely full of shit. I mean,
yeah, and that's why it pisses me off that these lazy fucking so supposedly conservative lawyers don't just copy and paste this thing. You do the Miss Gay from Harvard, you copy paste this thing, and you file it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said, I think you know this, that my feeling on what happened in Minnesota, first of all, when George Floyd got killed on a Monday, or he died, no, I'm not going to say he got killed, he didn't get killed.
Right.
He died on a Monday afternoon. And everybody, and we were, when I was at Klong News with you, and we were doing radio shows, and everybody was asking me, well, what do you think is going to happen? And I said, well, there's going to be a big riot on Wednesday. And they said, why not Tuesday? And I said, because it's going to take Antifa 24 hours to get here. And I was right about that. That's what happened. But the problem is when they let the third precinct go, when they actually abdicated and moved out, they basically empowered every dirtbag in America to say, Jesus, we can take the police.
What?
Jason Fry, our mayor, young guy, inexperienced, never really done anything. He thought he was saving lives, and technically he probably did. I mean, if they had actually fought over the third precinct, probably one or two or three people would have got killed. But the fact of the matter is, on the long term, he empowered Antifa and every dirtbag organization on the planet. And what happened? At least 20 people died over the course of the summer, you know? And I got to say,
right,
I put that on Fry's plate. He did that. He's not aware of that, but, you know, that's the way I look at it.
And the governor. I mean, the governor.
Yeah.
You know, those two. Again, our public officials are held. There's no
accountability.
Right. There's nothing financially. There's nothing that they get booted out. I mean, they're quitters. Look at McCarthy. He created a shit show, and then he just leaves.
Yeah, you know, right.
You're a real tough guy. Go open a new hot dog stand.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I mean, yeah, that's I'm going to take my ball and go home.
I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Roseanne Barr podcast.
Uh-huh.
And she... Marjorie Taylor Greene's on there trying to explain how, because Roseanne asked her, well, you didn't want McCarthy to leave. And she said, no, he was able to hold the whole Republican Party together, couldn't get anything done, didn't do anything, and he's a rhino. And I'm thinking, Marjorie, you must be now figured out how to make the Joe Biden money, because she's ripping the hell out of Johnson. And I'm thinking, wait, holding a bad organization together, you think you keep the leader there as supposedly one of the rebels of the organization? I mean, we are in weird times.
Yes, we are. You know, my real problem with that, Jeffrey, is what's her name, Rhonda McDaniel at the Republican National Committee. It was Ramaswamy who said she should resign. Now, They're touting, and this, I'm always suspicious of this, they, being the RNC, they're touting the fact that they're getting ahead of, like, early ballot voting and all this sort of shit, but this woman hasn't done anything for years, and she's a rhino herself, you know? I think she's incompetent. It's not so much that I think she's deceitful. I don't think she knows what she's doing. And the problem is, so, it's like, next to the president, the RNC chairperson, as with the DNC chairperson, are basically kind of the head of their parties, right? Even though they may be hired guns, but they're still kind of like running it. And it's like, well, this is great. So we got somebody running one of the two major political parties in America. She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Well, she could be running the Vikings. That's how the Vikings run.
That's
crazy. I mean, shit.
Yeah, you're right. That's right.
57 years of Super Bowls. We went to four, never won one.
That's right. And that was 40 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what you have. You have a Minnesota Viking organization running the Republican Party, and every time she loses, she gets rewarded.
Yeah, that's right. And my problem with this is that people say, oh, you shouldn't be so hard on these people. This is the major leagues. This is the Olympics.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the top of this profession. And you're fucking incompetent. And that's the same thing about the Vikings. What, you can't get out, you get into the playoffs? Well, that's bullshit. I mean, you know.
You got five quarterbacks, and you can't get one of them to win a game.
That's correct.
You got the one to do it one weekend.
Right.
And then it went to hell.
Yeah.
You turned your back on
it. Right. It's a
Minnesota
shit show.
Vikings and the Republican Party are like looking in a mirror.
And there, and that's the best thing you could have said tonight.
Oh my gosh. And losing is contagious, just like winning.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely correct. No, matter of fact.
So you can be a really great loser, but you're still a fucking loser.
Loser's more contagious than winning. That's what I think. It's harder because it's like, I don't know, when you have momentum, it's not that things are easier, but it's easier to keep them up. But man, if you're losing to get out of the hole, holy shit, that's hard.
Yeah,
you know. It's like, because you gotta raise yourself up from loser just to mediocre, you know, before you can even go on to anything. Yeah, it's two steps. Hey, Jeffrey, this has been wonderful, as always.
Thank you.
Okay, now before you go, though, we're going to run the commercial for Conk. I got this right here. So I don't know if you can see this. This is the Conk front page on this very moment. So it's up to date. Like I said, this updates 8 times a day, or once every 3 hours, and these are all the stories you're gonna get. And if you look at there's little logos at the bottom of every story, and that's the source. That's the source, right? And you can click on the logo and go directly to the front page. But otherwise, here I'm even going to try this. This is Red State here; they're one of our good partners. You click on this here, and it goes right to Red State. And it's the same picture. It's the same headline. It's like, it's a wonder to behold.
I thought you were going to click on the story that's a little bit further down on Glennis Johns. She passed away today. I figured she looks like you might have dated her.
Oh, it did.
She was Mrs. Banks and Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that's right. No, I just noticed something here. So I'm learning as we go, and that is I did click on an article on Conk, but this page that we're broadcasting did not change. So it must be a URL specific, or I mean domain specific. So anyway, yeah, but I am scrolling through this, and yeah. So you can, if you're a news junkie, you can't find a better source of information. You just can't.
And there's a picture of Dick Cheney in a red jumpsuit with heels.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for making me laugh, man. Hey,
all right. Jeff. Well, thanks for having me. And we're super, we're really glad that we get to help promote your show with Conk.com. So thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. We really appreciate it too. I mean, it's an honor and a pleasure. So couldn't find a better product for this sort of thing. And I'm going to emphasize that again. This is the best news source on the frickin' planet, period. So go check this out. It's at Conk.com, Conk.com. So Jeffrey, we'll talk. You're going to come on with a dynamic duo in a couple weeks. So you and Jennifer Oliver O'Connell will be here. And so we're looking forward to that. So anyway, you have a nice evening. Tell everyone in the garage I said hi.
I will.
See ya.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. That's Jeffrey Meyer from Conk News. He's the CEO and publisher of Conk News. That's always a great to have him on. I got a couple things here before we go. I gotta find them. You know, I make little outlines. That's what I do. Okay, so what I got? Oh, I got this, and I did. I almost jumped in with this with Jeffrey, but it doesn't really apply to his milieu, even though we were talking about it. So, the former founder or the founder, the former CEO of Lululemon is complaining about the fact that the models at Lululemon are now too fat. Now, the thing is, if you listened to this show last night, I talked about the fact that I looked in the mirror yesterday morning and realized I'm way too fucking fat. And this really, really pisses me off. I hate this. And of course, what are you going to do about it, Jim? Well, the problem is when you're 68, and I'm not kidding. When I was like 25 and 30, I could lose like 20 pounds in like 2 weeks. And I actually could, or realistically, let's say less than a month. I could do that. No problem doing it at all. The older I get, the harder it is to lose weight. And it's to the point where I don't even know if it's possible for me to lose a lot. I don't even know. I've been talking about this, and I'm really serious about this. At some point, I think I might go to Sotobello and just have them cut it off. Suck it out. Screw it. I hate it. I really hate it. And okay, let me be blunt. You're looking at my picture here, and you can't see me below my waist, but I'm actually not that big compared to most people. I'm not. I still hate it. I hate it. So the thing is, so he's talking about this is, I can't remember the guy's name. I'm not going to link to the, I have a link here, but I'm not going to check it out right now because I don't want to just, I pay attention to you, the viewer. That's where I pay attention to. About the fact that, you know, he's talking about the fact that they should not be catering to overweight women. Now, from a marketing standpoint, he's got a point, because the point isn't that you shouldn't cater to overweight women. It's what your brand stands for, and that's his point. He got shit about this when he was CEO too, about the fact that Lululemon products were designed for thin, fit women. Now, if you're a large fit woman, yeah, you should have a product. But the thing is, maybe they should brand it something else. That doesn't even mean they can't even sell it in the Lululemon stores. Maybe the brand is different. It should be. You can't, and he said this in this interview, you can't be everything to everyone. And that's the problem. Companies try to do this, and it hardly ever works. I mean, the only exception I can think of is Amazon. I mean, Amazon started as a bookstore. I did not know this at the time. I mean, I was working on the web in 1996. I ran a very large website that we went live in October 96. Amazon sold their first product over their website in July of 96, even though the company was running 2 years ahead of time, because they basically had to develop all this shopping cart software from scratch. It did not exist. Well, that's not really true. Porn sites were using it. And if I'm right, they actually bought some software from some porn sites. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of an apocryphal story. But the thing is, you know, so they started as a bookstore, but Jeff Bezos said it was always his intention to become a department store. He started with books because it was the easiest thing to sell, and also it's an inventory and store. That's the reason they started with books. He had no affinity for books per se. It was just the easiest thing for him to sell on the web at that time. That's what he determined. He was right. That's the thing. He's been right about almost everything. Matter of fact, the only single thing that Amazon's done that ever failed big time was the Fire Phone, which was a complete bust. But that's the only thing I can think of. All the things they've done. You know, in that sense, he's kind of like Trump. I mean, people don't want to give Trump credit. Almost everything Trump has predicted actually came true. It's really amazing. I can't think of a single thing that he did that wasn't. I can think of some deficiencies. For example, he should not have went to pardon me. I'm running this alone, folks. I got to do this. I still think when Trump went to the rally on January 6, 2021 at the Capitol, he walked into a trap. I've said this before. If he had not shown up at that rally, the same riot would have happened. And people don't understand this. He had nothing to do with it. And that's the thing. I think he got lured into there. I don't know if that was ego or just bad information or whatever. Because the thing is, you know, this well known now, he tried to get the Capitol Police, he even asked Nancy Pelosi's office, do you want some more, you know, do you want the National Guard? Do you want the Army? We can bring people in to protect people if you want. And they said no. They famously said, the Pelosi and Schumer both said no. And of course, what we know that the result was, and once again, that was not an insurrection, but it was a riot. I mean, there's no way to get around that, you know. But the definition of an insurrection is relatively strict, and it's a specific legal charge. So all these people are saying, "Well, there was an insurrection, so we got to say Trump." No bullshit. Trump has not been charged with an insurrection. So, enough of that. But I'm talking about Lululemon now. So the thing is, I was talking about Amazon, that Jeff Bezos is the only person I've ever known. No, that's not really true. I've known a couple others, but he's a big example of people who basically violated this marketing mantra, and that is, you can't be everything to everyone. You can't. So if you're going to sell, if you want to sell leggings or yoga pants to large women, make it a different brand, and then they know what to buy. So, you know, I don't know what you call it, you know, largies or something, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm large, so I know this is for me. You know, you can't sell. So he's right about that from a purely marketing standpoint. Now, whether you want to go on or your high horse about whether there should be leggings or yoga pants or large women, I don't see any reason there shouldn't be. I don't. But on the other, I've seen these ads and the commercials he's talking about. These women are not attractive. You can go on to your blue on the face. Some of these women are just simply too heavy. And the fact of the matter is we are promoting a lifestyle now where it's acceptable to be fat and it shouldn't be. That's all there is to it. And this is coming from a fat guy, okay? I'm fat and I do not like this. I don't like being fat. When not the fact that I don't like what's going on. I don't like being, this is wrong. It's saying, you know, people, you should make your ads aspirational, which is all the reason models are always have been in the past, beautiful and thin. That's the reason. And I know, yeah, you can bitch about it and say it's even unrealistic, and maybe it is. I mean, there's very few people in life who even, you know, on the 1 to 10 scale come out on a 10. And I've known a few of these people, actresses and models myself, who are actually get off the scale. They're actually 14 or 15s, you know. And it's hard to explain that because, you know, the thing is, the media, the camera basically dulls your looks. So in some senses, you have to be more beautiful for the camera than you look in the ad. It's hard for me to explain that, but it just is. That's the way photography and video television works. So, you know, it's like, who's a good example? Halle Berry, of course, you know. I mean, my guess is Halle Berry is even more beautiful in real life than she looks on the screen. That's my guess, knowing people like that. I spent many years being a musician. I ended up playing for conducting an orchestra at a very large nonprofit gala years ago. Very large. Many, many people there. Thousands, actually. And I was conducting the orchestra, and the executive director of this event, she comes over and she says, "Jim, do you want to meet so and so?" So and so turned out to be an anchor at a local TV station. I do. That'd be cool. So she takes me over, and the woman has her back to me, and she turns around. Now I have to preface this. I'm not going to name her name because of what I'm going to tell you here, even though I'm highly complimentary. And that is, she was an anchor at a local television station. She was very beautiful on TV, extremely beautiful. And so she turns around and to shake my hand, and I look at this woman, and she is so beautiful in the flesh, standing 3 feet away from me. I'm almost floored. I didn't believe it. I mean, this woman had like the most beautiful eyes I'd ever seen in my life. And unfortunately, because of a health issue, she had to quit broadcasting a couple years after that, which is the reason I'm not going to name her. I don't want to, you know, I have no idea if that's a sore spot with her, so I don't want people playing this back. But anyway, it was just an example of that. This woman was so ungodly beautiful in person. And yet on television, I'm looking at her and she's, yeah, she's pretty hot, you know. But in real life, it was like throwing a brick in my head. And this has happened to me quite a few times. I've been in around show business and in entertainment my entire life. I've met a lot of these people. And so it's there's a woman I worked with quite a few years ago several of my colleagues still say to this day is the single most beautiful woman on the planet. So I'm not going to name her either because I know her and she's a committed liberal and she does not want to be associated with this broadcast. I'm sure she doesn't. Any rate, I brought that up because here's the deal. Yeah, I was going on last night about being fat, about the fact I'm fat, and here he's talking about the fact there shouldn't be models that are fat, and he's right. You know, that's all there's to it. You know, and I know no one wants me to model anything, nothing. You know, at this point. And the thing is, yeah, I had a pretty cool body most of my life. I did. That's the other thing. That's a, you know, that's the thing. That's the reason that pissing me off. You know, I got the job done most of the time, but not anymore, you know. And then the last thing I want to bring up here is the fact that, okay, what is this? What is this about? This made the news this afternoon. It was all over the cable channels, and it's all over the news online about the fact that Target started selling these what are called Stanley coffee mugs that apparently have caused riots in the stores. And this only started like 24, 48 hours ago. People have been lining up by the hundreds at Target to get these Stanley mugs. And apparently, from what I understand, if I have this right, although I have a hard time believing this, because you think somebody would have done this sooner, the reason is because they basically fill all the criteria. They will fit in the standard cup holder in your car. They're still tall. They're not steel. They're plastic, so they don't weigh a shitload ton. They keep your drink cold, and they have a handle. And apparently, I didn't know this. You know, my wife, I talked to my wife about this after. She said this is actually true. There are cups that fit in the cup holders in the car, and there are cups with handles. But so far, nobody's done both because the amount of space needed above the cup holder is usually taken up by the handle, so therefore the cup won't go in the cup holder. What the hell? What am I talking about? This is crazy. So now there are people rioting at Target to get these things. And so this was on the 5 this afternoon, which I happen to have on Fox News. And this wasn't me, but Judge Jeanine brought up the fact that you look at the people in that line, every single one of them is a woman. And then there were a couple of men, but then they talked to the men, and the men said they were standing in line for their wives. It's like, okay, all right, God, you don't think men and women think different, do you? It's like, Jesus. And then they were talking about the fact, you know, there's the, I can't remember the name of the psychological attribute or phenomena where people want something because other people want it. You know, it's, you know, we're all stupid. It's like, you know, there's a reason the extraterrestrials aren't landing. We're dumb. I read this. Matter of fact, I'm reading this book by Albert Rosales. This is where I read this. He's coming on the show in a couple of weeks. He has written like 18 books on not so much extraterrestrial phenomena, but what he called humanoid creatures. So it's both about like aliens and also Bigfoot and anything that's non-human. That's, you know, that looks like a human but isn't. That's basically what he's writing. He's written 18 books on this. And so his books are about incidences that happened with the current time period. I'm reading the last one, which is from 20 to 2015. And he says it's going to be the last one in the series. He's not going to do another one. That's what he said. But at any rate, so he is talking about apparently an extra alien abduction that happens to this guy. And as has been widely noted for people who say this has happened to them, that during the abduction, it's usually a medical examination of some kind, that the ETs are fairly businesslike and cold, but after it's done, they have a tendency to warm up and they will answer questions. And the guy asked the ETs around him, he said, well, why don't you guys come and talk to us? And then E.T. said, well, let me ask you something. Why don't you talk to ants? And yeah, okay, that's a good analogy, right? He said, no offense, but you are so below us as intelligent beings that we're not even interested. Okay, and I bet you aren't. That's right. So there we go. There's the answer to your question, you know? So yeah, we're stupid. We're lining up for cups. We'll line up for hours to get a cup. God almighty. All right, that's our show for tonight, folks. I'm leaving it at that. So I just want to remind you, next week, next Monday, we're off. No show on Monday. We'll come back on Tuesday with Monologue Monday and Tuesday. We got next week our guests. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. It's winter. The air is dry. And it's like, seriously, don't move to Minnesota. Don't. The weather sucks. It's nice. 6 months of the year. Fantastic. Just fantastic. That's the reason people don't leave. I swear to God, all those people from Norway who moved here, the Vikings, they came in the summer. You know, it's like shit. Because it was, yeah, half the year is beautiful. But no, the air's getting kind of dry. Okay, so next week, no show on Monday. Tuesday, we got, oh, now I'm doing this off the top of my head. Oh, Marie Sabrin. We got Marie Sabrin, economist, got to ask a lot of questions about what's going on. He's made a very famous prediction that by election day next year, at some point, we're going to have a major recession. But like I said, there's a guy named Harry Dent, who's a very famous economist too. He doesn't think we're going to have a recession. He thinks it's going to be worse than a depression. He thinks the whole economy is going to collapse. But the problem is, and we'll talk to Murray about this on Wednesday, about the fact that, yeah, we've printed so much fake money that at some point you think something bound terrible is going to happen. So anyway, Murray Sabrin on Wednesday and Jazz Shaw from hotair.com on Thursday. So I'm Jim Peters. I want to thank you for watching. I love doing this. Too much energy tonight. That's what happens when you sleep till 1:45. But, you know, come on. Okay, I get done with the show around 11:30 local time, and I usually stay up and watch a little bit of TV. I get to bed about 1:00, so I usually, you know, normally I'm up around 9:00, but nope, not yesterday. Nope, slept the entire time. So at any rate, I want to thank you for watching. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie, and good night to you wherever you are. You guys have a nice weekend. I'll see you on Tuesday. Take care.